shore here, and today I'm picking the brains of the man who reputedly put the head in the bed of Alex Jeffries' Guru Nightwear report. My guest today is Gary Simpson from Perth in Western Australia, and he's kindly agreed to step out from his temple of internet marketing newbies to share some words of wisdom. I must admit I'm expecting a lot because Gary is quite a wordsmith. Apart from being the author of over 20 substantial ebooks offering quality information on a range of subjects, he's also written some novels and a personal development and motivational home study course, encouraging readers to transform themselves into the best they can be. Gary's favourite saying is, you can't teach a person anything, you can only help them find it within themselves. So let's have a chat with him and see how he applies that in his daily life. So, Gary Simpson, are you there?
I'm here, Jean, and I'm very impressed that you actually remembered that little favourite quote of mine. So that was good, but I have to correct you on one thing. I think you said 20 ebooks.
Has it gone up?
Nah, it's more like it's more like 40 now.
Oh my goodness! Well, I know that.
I'm just pumping them out now.
Yeah, you certainly are a prolific writer.
All right.
And to look at you, that kind of surprises me, actually. When I first was introduced to you, as you know, I found you a bit intimidating, I have to say.
Maybe you should mention that, because most people who don't know me say the same thing.
Yeah. We met through Alex Jeffries' coaching program, the very first one that he did. I think he's on his fourth one now. And I was, well, completely new to the whole thing, but you'd obviously been around a bit in the nicest possible way, in as much as you'd had a bit of experience, if not in internet marketing, but certainly in network marketing. And you came across, to me, initially as very wise, very confident, but very opinionated. And then I respected what you had to say, but I must admit I did feel a bit intimidated by you. And but then I actually met you last year, and you're not at all how I expected.
You're making me laugh this end, you know.
One thing I can say about you, which is probably quite typical for Australians, is that you don't suffer fools gladly, and you call a spade, don't you?
Well, yes, I do. I haven't got time to waste time with people that are just going to muck around, Jean. I'm constantly writing my e-books, my manuals, my courses and things like that. And I don't mind helping people, you know, from time to time. But, you know, I get some people that they think I'm going to do all the work for them. I don't have time for that sort of thing. And like you said, I really don't have time for people wasting my time either. So, you know, if people want the information and knowledge that I have, I'll freely give it. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to be somebody's slave. And in the past, I've fallen into a little bit of a trap there with my eagerness to want to help people. But from what I've seen online, there's certainly a number of people that when you start helping them, they stop helping themselves. And I've been trying to get away from that little scenario, because in my opinion, if we can build people up to a level where they can support themselves and be self-supporting in the things that we teach them, then that's good. But if they continually want people to do things for them all the time, well, there's a place for that. And it's called Rent-A-Coder, or it was, I think it was called Rent-A-Coder, I think it's called V-Worker or something like that now, or Elance, places like that, you know. If they want a person to work for them, then they can pay somebody on those paid sites to do that. So in many instances, I'm now knocking back people that ask me to edit their ebooks and manuals and things like that. I've probably in the past done that on more than 15 to 20 occasions, put a lot of work into it too, and you don't get a lot of thanks for it. And in fact, some people, when you do that sort of thing for them, they want to argue every point. So I've kind of formed the opinion now that some people just want you to endorse what they've done, and some of the stuff that I've seen has just been, well, let's just say it's been pretty lacking in content and style and most other things. And when you point those things out to people, some of them tend to get a bit angry with you and want to argue the point. So I've told people now, if they want me to do that, yeah, sure, I'll do it. But because my time now is so limited and, well, I consider it to be valuable, I'm saying to them, if you want me to do it, there's a price attached to it. So no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yes, time is one of those things you simply can't get back, can you? So I know that you're terribly organised, and one of your e-books or one of your reports...
You should see my desk if you think that.
All right, we'll have to...
Go on, I rudely interrupted you there, but just when you said it and I looked at my desk, I thought, my God, if only you were here to see it. But you were saying one of my e-books, I'm sorry, I did interrupt you.
Is your Time and Motion Planner, which you which has been downloaded several times, hasn't it, by lots and lots of people...
Oh. Let me just check the number, because I do keep statistics on that. At the moment, 12,323 times it's been downloaded.
Gosh, you say you keep statistics. Are you do you track everything? I know that you are actually a seventh dan in karate, aren't you? Which obviously means that you are very disciplined. You have to be disciplined. Does that pervade into all areas of your life, or?
It does, Jean. In fact, I have trained now for more than 8 years, and I've trained every day over those 8 years. I've not missed a single day, not one single day in over 8 years.
And how long do you have to train for? I mean,
That's a really good question. And I think the answer that I'm going to give here, I think if people really, really want to become good at something, then train little but often. Now, when I say that, you know, you get people that want to get fit, right? And they get all carried away and they'll go and run a couple of miles and they'll do push-ups and sit-ups and go crazy for, you know, 3 or 4 days. And then all of a sudden they think, oh, this is not for me anymore. The better thing to do is, you know, just to practice something consistently. In my opinion, I think that is it's very important to be consistent. You know, if you're building your blog. In fact, look, I'm just looking at my messy desk. You said I was very organised, but my desk is a bit of a mess because I've been working on it all day. I have journals here where I'm not happy unless I get something done to move myself forward every day, and I enter those, put those entries into a journal here, and I get very cranky with myself if I look at the journal and I see an empty page. But it's the same with my karate, basically everything I do. I like to try and be consistent, and with my physical training there, it only takes about 20 to 30 minutes a day, but when you add that up over a period of a week and then a month and then a year and then 8 years, all of that adds up. And I remember an interview I heard with Johnny Wilkinson, the rugby player. You're probably familiar with his name, are you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and they said to him, interviewed him, they said, why are you so good? And he said, I train every day. And my ears pricked up when I heard that. I thought, this guy, I'm going to listen to what he says. And he said, when everybody else in all the other teams were out celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day, he put in 2 or 3 hours just kicking goals. And he said, you know, that he trained on his birthday, he trained over Easter, you know, every festive period of the year, every date that meant something to him, he was training. And that's why the guy's so damn good, you know. And you'll find that most people who are good at whatever they do, they train every day, like a guitarist. A couple of months ago, I went and saw the Eagles play live here in Perth in Western Australia. And the guitar work that I saw that night, I was just absolutely amazed. And they had a guy up there, I think his name is Joe Walsh, and the way he played that guitar, I mean, I was just mesmerised by it. And then, you know, I thought to myself, how can he be so good? And then I just thought, well, he probably practices every day. And like I said, it's just consistency. And if you just put in 20 to 30 minutes of your core activity every day, then you can't help but get better. So long, of course, if you're practicing the right things. I mean, if you're practicing all the wrong things, then obviously you're not going to get better. You're probably just going to be repeating mistakes. But, you know, if you're on the right path and you're practicing every day, then you'll be improving every day. And, you know, it's like I say to people, I say, oh, I can't write, you know. I say, well, you know, have you tried? And they go, oh, no, I just know I'm no good. And I say, well, that's silly, because you're probably quite a good writer. You just need a bit of practice. And so I just say to them, you know, just practice writing every day, you know, just 20, 30 minutes a day. That's all you need to do. And, you know, I wrote a novel by doing that. Still hasn't been published yet. I'm still hopeful of that. But, you know, if you just write for, well, probably more than an hour a day you'd need to write to complete a novel. But, you know, if you're doing an e-book or something like that, just 20, 30 minutes at a time, you know, in the morning, afternoon, in the evening. It's consistency that gets the job done. The people who continuously fail at everything are the ones who, they go into a flurry of activity because they get all excited about something, and then all of a sudden they're not getting the results that they want, and they stop. And, you know, it's a frenzy of activity to start with, and then they do nothing for 2 or 3 weeks. And then they get down on themselves and say, well, you know, why isn't anything working for me? Well, it's because they're not consistent. And as I said before, I think consistency is the key.
Yeah, it builds momentum, doesn't it? If you do something consistently over time, yeah. Another thing that also helps is having support. I mean, you train every day, and like you were saying, Johnny Wilkinson practices every day. So obviously... Mm-hmm. The important thing is that you've got to be interested in what you're doing. You know, a lot of people online, they just jump in for something which they think will make money. But if you've got no real interest in it, then it's hard to get excited about doing something on that particular area every day, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Look, you have to be passionate about what you do, Jane. You know, I mean, if I wasn't passionate about my karate or about the writing and what have you that I do, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't waste my time. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, their passion is watching TV. And if you just sit and watch TV, you just, well, what are you going to get done, you know? A lot of people have said that if you're working in a job, 9 to 5 will just get your bills paid. But after 5 o'clock is when you can create your own destiny, create your own business. And, you know, for a lot of people, fair enough, you know, some of them have got pretty difficult jobs, pretty physical jobs and things like that, and they want to rest and relax. But once again, I'll come back to consistency. If they're building an online business, all they need to do is spend an hour in an evening, you know, 5 nights a week, and maybe put a couple of hours in some time of convenience across the weekend, and they would be amazed at what they get done. But for a lot of people, they just come home, they plonk down in front of the TV, they eat their meal in front of the TV, they drink a few beers or a few wines in front of the TV, they're not exercising their body, they're not exercising their mind, and they're wondering why they're bored stiff at work, you know?
One of the difficulties I think that people face when they come online is, if they haven't got the support of their friends and family, they're very much alone. And so it's hard to keep going when, A, you don't really know what direction you're going, B, if you don't see any immediate results, and C, if you haven't got the support. It's difficult, isn't it? So how important would you say it is to go to live workshops and join into forums and support groups?
Well, I think that in itself is very important. I mean, look, not everybody that you know, that's your friends and relatives, are going to support you in everything that you do. In fact, in many instances, a lot of those people will be extremely unsupportive, and they'll get to the point where they want to ridicule people for what they do. But, you know, by joining a forum of like-minded people, going to internet marketing seminars and things, you know, and you don't have to go around the world like we have. I mean, we've been to Las Vegas a few times and you know, to various other events and things like that. You can attend all sorts of functions of interest in your niche or in your area of interest in your local area, in your local town or city or wherever it is. There's, you know, always once every couple of months there's somebody putting something on, and I think it's good to attend these things. I quite often go to them. I'd probably go once every couple of months if I know something's on and I can organise to be there. And quite often, you know, it's like a day out of the week that you have to go to attend these things. But the good part of it is, and I say this all the time, it's not so much what you get from the stage, it's what you get from the people that you meet. I mean, you saw this directly yourself, Jean, when we were all in Las Vegas together. You finally get to meet people that you've, you know, been interacting with on a forum or, you know, talking to over Skype. And it's completely different when you meet people in person. I mean, you said the same about me. You had some sort of preconceived notion that, you know, I was an intimidating character, and let me assure you, I can be if I want to, but I prefer not to be. And, you know, look, I've met some wonderful people at these internet marketing seminars. You know, a lot of people from all over the world now I consider to be my friends, and, you know, I can Skype text them, call them up over Skype, send them emails and things like that, and expect to, you know, get a good response off them. So, look, I think it's very important to attend things like that, because it gives you a feeling that there's other people that are trying to achieve the same things that you are. And at the same time, you can forge all these relationships, good relationships with people from all over the world.
Absolutely. We're very much a result of the people we associate with, aren't we? Even if that means just physically. I mean, it's the information you watch and the books you read and the quality of the information you read as well, isn't it?
Yep, for sure. I mean, you can't choose your relatives, obviously. And some of our relatives, and look, we've all got them, some of them are just downright negative, nasty, and mean-spirited towards us, and they can get away with it because if a friend does that or an acquaintance does that, pretty soon you can get rid of them as a friend or an acquaintance. But a relative is always going to be a relative, so they, you know, they take lots of liberties with us at times. And I've had a lot of hurtful things said to me over the years from different relatives, but, you know, I mean, that's their problem, and a lot of them only want to criticize you and try to bring you down to a certain level because in the back of their mind they're a little bit worried that you might get ahead of them in some way. You know, if you're reading all these positive books and things like that, I get a lot of people come around to my home, and I've got a massive library, and when I say massive, I really do mean massive. I have thousands of books, and people stand and they look at my novels and they think, oh yeah, okay, he reads a lot of novels. And then they see my positive thinking books, they go, oh, what do you got this crap for? You know, well, what do you read this? I won't swear, but you know the word. But what are you reading this for? And I say, well, because I like to read it. And, you know, then they start getting on my case. Oh, you don't need junk like that. You know, well, you know, obviously they don't. But I like to read it. And, you know, I've got many, many hundreds of inspirational books. I've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of novels. I've got lots of DVDs, tapes, all sorts of things. I'm a bit of a junkie when it comes to that. But, you know, if you want to become good at something, then you need to feed your mind with something. And, you know, I know a lot of people, Jean, and they are so proud when they say, oh, I haven't read a book since I left school. Now, some of these people are 50 and 60 years old that say that, and they left school at 15, 16, 17. I mean, I just... I look at these people and I just seriously wonder why they don't read any books. I love reading books. I would go through probably 2 or 3 books a week, and that includes novels, biographies, not so much biographies, but, you know, positive books, inspirational books, that type of thing, like Psycho, Cybernetics, you know, those types of books. And, you know, when people say, oh, you know, and they're proud of it, oh, I don't read books, I just think, wow, you know, you are really missing out. And they tend to be the sort of people that will just sit down in front of TV and watch, you know, shows like The Biggest Loser, Survivor in El Salvador, you know, really intelligent stuff like that, you know, or My Conviction Kitchen or something. I lasted about 3 minutes looking at some of those shows last week, and I just stood there and I just shook my head and I thought, what is the world coming to when people see this sort of garbage as entertainment, you know? I mean, I just seriously do not get it. I really don't. I would rather spend time on the internet, spend time reading a decent book, or writing something myself, you know, something that's going to be valuable to me or my readers. I really don't get, you know, wasting time watching these dumb, and they really are dumb, TV shows.
The trouble is, when self-improvement is one of those things that sort of takes time and effort, and often it's inconvenient, isn't it? So for a lot of people, they just would rather just let time pass and watch TV and do...
And all they get whatever. Is older.
Absolutely, yeah.
They're not improving themselves in any way. In fact, I think they're going backwards, because by loading their minds with all that garbage, and like I said, I spend 2 or 3 minutes, because a lot of people I know talk about those shows, and I think they're lame. I think they're absolutely lame. And, you know, I think, okay, all right, I'll watch it for a little bit. But honestly, Jean, I just get so bored with it, and I get so down on the stupidity of it. I just think, how can so many people watch this stuff, you know? And then you turn to the statistics, like we see in internet marketing and other places, where, you know, there's a 97-98% failure rate, and it's pretty obvious why.
Yeah, they're not being persistent and consistent, but you obviously are, and as I say, you're a very, very prolific writer. So which is your favourite book that you've written? Actually, I think I know this, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, well, I do have an absolute favourite one, and you know, of course, it's called The Power of Choice. That was something that I wrote not long after the death of a very, very wonderful person that I knew, who died in her sleep one night. And I don't know. It's really strange to sort of explain, and it's kind of eerie in many ways, that I had this story just churning around in my head like this. Great. It was like, and I've mentioned this to you before, I think, it was like I had all these words and I threw them all into a washing machine, and I'd press the button and then, you know, put the washing machine in a cycle, and one by one the words all just started to line up, and it started to make sense to me. And I just sat down in an absolute fever one day. When I say fever, I don't mean, you know, being ill, but just a fever of activity. And I just started writing this thing, and I just kept writing and writing and writing and writing, and I thought, oh, I don't know where this is coming from, but this is really good stuff. And by the end of it, I felt quite physically drained and mentally drained by it all. And then I left it, and I came back and I read it a couple of hours later, and I looked at it and I thought, wow, did I really write this? It was obviously I did, because it was in my handwriting and I didn't copy it. It's 100% original. It's just straight out of my head. And I really, truly, seriously do not know where that story came from. It's my favourite piece of work that I've ever done. And like I said, you know, I've written maybe around about 40 e-books. I've got them all sitting in my office here looking at them now. I've written about 40, but nothing, in my opinion, comes anywhere near that piece of work. And I'm, look, I know this sounds self-aggrandizing, but I'm just so proud of it, you know. And you know, it was inspired by the death of somebody very, very close to me. And I don't know, maybe that sort of coloured my opinion on it or something, but I've had comments from all around the world about that story, about that ebook, and some of them I've actually appended into the back of it. But yeah, look, that is my absolute favourite out of many, many, many ebooks that I've written.
It is incredibly powerful, and I have to say, if I hadn't have seen that you were the author, I would not have known that you had written it. And I was
surprised myself too.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a nasty way. It's just that it's so very different from everything else that I've ever read that you've published. But it is
very good. Hammering away at things, but that is a very compassionate story, a very compassionate account of a person looking back on their life to see what they have achieved. And you know, the normal response I get to this is a lot of the guys kind of get very quiet after they've read it, and most of the women cry. And I remember I gave it to Paula Brett. You know Paula Brett, don't you, June?
Yeah, well, I don't know her personally, but I do know...
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I thought you might have been over in Las Vegas with her, but she might have been in the first crew that went over there. I think you might have been the second one. But I gave it to Paula, and she emailed me back and said I cried. And I said, don't worry, most women do. But yeah, it's a very powerful, very emotive story, and like I said, I was amazed that I wrote it. And you know, I write a lot of my stuff out by hand, especially when I can't be near a computer. I'll just take a pad and a pen with me everywhere. In fact, I took one down to the southwest of Western Australia last week when I went down there to see the Michael Bublé concert down there, and I scribbled a few notes and things down there. But when I wrote that Power of Choice, it was 98% right in the first writing. It was almost like, and I know this sounds really weird, but it was like I was being guided somehow to write it. You know, like I said, it was a very strange experience for me, and one that I'd like to have again, actually, even though it was a little bit eerie.
Mm. No, that doesn't sound strange to me at all, because I've written three books that have been published, and mm-hmm. it was pretty much the same. When I read them back, I think, I can't believe I wrote this, although I did, but you know, it's weird. But words are very powerful, aren't they? I mean, they can influence and persuade people, so you do need to be careful, don't you, because you do have a responsibility.
Oh, absolutely. Words can send countries to war. But I do recall, Jean, that you gave me some sound advice with a couple of reports that I was writing, and I'll just mention them now. How not to be an internet marketing zombie, and how not to be an internet marketing vampire. And I got so angry with the way some people behave when they force themselves on others and they do all these awful tactics, you know, all these horrible black hat type things, that I got so angry I started swearing my head off in those reports. And after I went through and edited them both the first time, I thought, oh, I've got a bit carried away here. But you know, but that's how I felt at the time, and I got really, really angry about it. And of course, when you get angry, you tend to swear. I think a lot of people you know, and you can't say, oh damn. And I asked for your opinion, and you said, I don't like it. And I thought, okay, I better go and tone it down a little bit, which I did. But I left the intent in there, and I think you've read them, Jean. And I hope you weren't offended too much by them. But yeah, look, they are the only two of my reports or ebooks or manuals or whatever where I've resorted to, well, I guess I can only say I've resorted to a bit of foul language. But you know something, you turn on the TV at a night time and you watch some show, and you know, they're splattering these words all over the TV now, and you hear school kids in the shopping malls using those words, and I know that's no excuse, but I think people are kind of used to those types of words now, and even though I probably shouldn't put them in reports, I just got so angry with the behaviour of certain people and the tactics that they were using that I thought it was appropriate in those two instances only where I resorted to that, and I did put a very large warning on the front to say that there was, a little bit of language inside them. So if people don't want to read it, well, it's right on the cover for them. And incidentally, I had a graphic artist do some beautiful covers for those the other day. I was so impressed with what this guy has done, and I intend to release both of those in my Temple Talk newsletter over the coming months. I have released another report in, I think it was the February or March edition, or the latest one, whichever one it was. And yes, I'm allowing people to rebrand some of my work now to get it out into the marketplace and let it go a bit more viral.
Well, that's a fantastic idea, because your reports are certainly very good. They're very meaty. But I am glad that you did tone down those just a bit. Because
just for you, Jean.
Yeah, thank you. But you're saying about these words that you see them on the television, but that's the trouble. People get immune to them, don't they? They just think they're kind of everyday. And often I feel that it's what you don't say that can be more powerful than what you do say sometimes. If you express yourself in the right way, people read between the lines, and sometimes that has more impact. You've got a very good memory, haven't you? You can remember.
I would like to think so.
How did you develop? Is it something you've worked on? Is that something that you've developed just like your discipline with your karate, or are you just naturally good?
I forget things from time to time, but sometimes the more you concentrate on something, the more prone you are of forgetting it. And if you just put something out of your mind, you'll find that later on it'll pop back in. And I've done that lots of times. But I want to tell you a funny story here, Jean. About 12 years ago, I saw one of those infomercials on TV, and it was a fellow called Kevin Trudeau, who's a Canadian memory expert. And what he did, he had an audience of 500 people. And as they came in, they introduced themselves to him by name and occupation. And he shook their hand. And once they got inside the auditorium, he made them all stand up. And one by one, he went up to every person and said, "Your name is Gene Shaw. Your name is Gary Simpson. Your name is this. Your name is that." And he was even able to recite what they did for a living. And I just sat there stunned watching this guy. And I thought, well, this could be a big hoax, but I didn't think so. So anyway, it was about a half an hour infomercial, and after that, I thought, I've got to have this guy's stuff, So they had a 1-800 number that you ring and you get these, big DVD packs and books and things like that. It cost me about $200 or something, which I thought was an absolute bargain at the time. And that's one thing I'll never do. I never cut short spending money on improving myself or educating myself. If something costs X amount of dollars and I want it, I just buy it. So anyway, I bought this thing, and at the time we were in the process of moving into a new home. So not long after I got them, I packed them up into a box somewhere, and I promptly forgot where they were, and I only found them about 8 years later, which sounds ridiculous because it was I'm looking at them now in my office, two DVD packs with books and tapes and CDs and all sorts of stuff in on memory. And I think that's pretty funny, actually. But I think a lot of people convince themselves that they don't have a good memory. In fact, some people say, "Oh, I can't remember this. I can't remember that. I can't do this. I can't do that." These people are hypnotizing themselves into the reality of not being able to remember things or not being able to do things. Whenever I hear people say that, and somebody very, very close to me, a relative of mine, a very close relative of mine, says that all the time. The first words that come out of this person's mouth is, I can't. And every time I hear it, I get so angry and I say, no, you can. You can if you want to. And then we get into this argument. Oh, I can't. And I say, you can. I can't. You can. I can't. You can. And I just think, oh my goodness, you know, what is this person doing to themselves? And they're just, you know, hypnotizing and convincing themselves that they can't do things. And it's ridiculous. And I have this, I won't say conversation, it's like an argument, back and forth argument, you know, you can, you can't, you can, you can't, with this person all the time. And I get really, really frustrated when the first two words that come out of this person's mouth always is, I can't. And I just think it's so sad that, you know, there's a lot of people that say that, and they're just self-convincing themselves through their own negative self-talk that they can't. And I think it was Henry Ford who made that classic statement, whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way you're right. And that, I think that's one of the most profound statements that anybody's ever made, apart from my favorite saying by Galileo. But there's a lot of people are very, very negative about what they think they can't do, and I really think that, you know, a lot of people are their own worst enemies in that regard.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people have that inner voice, don't they? That fear that stops them from ever reaching their full potential because they just won't get started. It's that fear, isn't it?
I think everybody has that little inner voice, Jean. I mean, you know, sometimes it's your little guardian angel sitting on your shoulder that will tell you and warn you about things. And if we had more time, I could give you a very, very eerie story about an instance where I was warned, not once, but four times, about, you know, some impending danger that I was about to walk into later that night. And I took notice of that voice, and it saved me from a massive disaster, something of monumental proportions. I won't go into it now, but if anybody listening to this call wants to know about it, and they see me somewhere at a live event, if they come and ask me about it, I will tell them a story that will make the hair stand up on the back of their neck. But just getting back to self-talk, you know, when I said everybody has that inner voice, you can cultivate your self-talk. In fact, I'm holding a book. I just stood up and just reached for one of my favourite books here. And if anyone wants to make a note of this, this is a very, very powerful book. It's written by a guy called Shad Helmstetter, and it's called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And I've read this book about four times now, and every time I read it, I get something else out of it. It is an amazing book. In fact, it led me to create an ebook of my own, which is called Brain Training, which I wrote as a response to reading this book. And I called it Brain Training, Affirmations to Strengthen Your Mind and Body. And that's another one of my favourite books. And I, in fact, have an exercise in there on happiness. And I have an affirmation on happiness. And if I find somebody who, through circumstance or whatever, is unhappy and they're miserable and they're down on themselves, I give them this affirmation. I say to them to read it every morning and when they get out of bed and every night before they fall asleep. And I have never had one failure for a person that has not woken up after, I think, around about 20 days. It definitely works after 30 days, but after 20 days, most people wake up with a smile on their face and they don't know why. And it's purely because of the affirmation on happiness that I've given them. And that just goes to show you the strength of affirmations and the power of the mind. But having said that, I will caution everybody by saying that there are good affirmations and there's a formula for writing a good affirmation. And I've studied the formula and I understand it, and the affirmations that I give people work. There are some affirmations that I think could actually cause damage or maybe do nothing, but it all depends in the way that they're constructed. So if anybody listening to this call is unhappy in their life, then they can contact me and I will give them this happiness affirmation. And so long as they do the work, and it's not really work, you just have to read this once in the morning and once in the evening, and if you feel so inclined, you can read it several times during the day, but it's not that necessary. After 20 to 30 days, they will wake up with a smile on their face, and they will wonder why they are smiling, and it will set the tone for the rest of the day. So it's a very, very powerful thing, is self-talk, and it's something that I'm a big believer in, and I'm very passionate about.
So you wake up every morning with a huge smile on your face, then? That's fantastic.
Well, no, not necessarily, because I don't read that affirmation unless I need to read it. But, you know, there's affirmations for all sorts of things. There's affirmations, I've created affirmations for wealth, for weight loss. Interestingly enough, somebody asked me to write one for smoking, and I said, no, I wouldn't do it. And they asked me why, and I said, because I don't want to put the idea of smoking into your mind. What I do, I write out an affirmation of health for them. And because smoking is against health, when you concentrate on health, you tend to push smoking out of the scene. So, you know, if you just repeat yourself, you know, I don't want to smoke, I don't like smoking, smoking is bad, well, that ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. It's not the way that these affirmations should be constructed. And in fact, it's putting the reverse connotation into the mind, and the focus is on smoking, and then the mind doesn't react properly to it. But if you create an affirmation on health, then the mere act of smoking is against that affirmation of health, so the mind will reject it. It's very psychological, all of this, and like I said, if people want to know more about it, one of the most wonderful books I've ever read was the one that I just read out, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, or they could get my little ebook, which will teach them, I think there's about a dozen affirmations in there, and it will teach them how to construct affirmations for whatever problem they may have.
Yeah, you have to concentrate on the desired outcome, don't you? Positive outcome that you actually want to happen, as opposed to what, because what you focus on expands, they say, don't they? So you focus on the good bits,
yes,
and not the bad bits, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you've obviously come a very, very long way, not just in the 2 years that I've known you, but since you started. And you've obviously got a positive message for everybody, because everybody starts at the bottom at some time, don't they? It just takes time, and nobody's good at everything to start with. And as you say, all these people that say that they can't do something, they need to reframe their mind and know that they can, but it's just going to take persistence and effort and take action, really, isn't it?
Taking action is very important, and as you well know, I have written another e-book called Time in Motion Action Planner, which is the one that I mentioned earlier is being downloaded some 12,500 times. But one thing that everybody can do, if they want to be consistent and persistent and build their skill in any area, all they need to do is construct a simple matrix, and just have, or even just buy a very small diary or something like that, and every day they should write into their diary or tick off on the matrix what they've done. And if there's a day where they haven't done anything, well, then the next day they need to double up and do twice the amount of work. But, you know, the good thing is, Gene, as I said before, with this brain training activity that I do, once you do something for around, and usually for most people it's around 30 days, unless you're highly disciplined, it becomes a habit. And, I mean, we can choose to have good habits or we can choose to have bad habits. Most people are pretty lazy, so they're involved in very bad habits. But if you want to change a habit, then all you need to do is do something consistently for 30 days, and all of a sudden you then have a habit that you want rather than a habit that you don't want. And one of the things I did, I was involved through my karate with a very, very serious injury where the surgeons told me that I would never, ever regain the use of the injured limb 100% ever again. Well, I just listened to that and I thought, yeah, we'll see about that. That's exactly what went through my mind. When they told me, I kind of you know, dropped my lip a bit, and I thought, oh, you know, this is a surgeon telling me this. And then I thought, yeah, okay, all right, we'll see about that. And I think about 6 weeks after surgery, I went back, and this surgeon says, okay, show me what you can do. And I went through a range of motions, and I just looked at his face, and I saw his eyeballs pop out of his head. He said, how can you do that? And I said, easy. And he goes, what have you done? And I said, well, I knew you'd ask, so I charted it all. And to recover, I did 300,000 exercises. Now, I know people listening to this will think that I am a maniac, and maybe I am, but I just wanted to prove this guy so wrong. And he told me that he'd been he was a German doctor, Dr. Bueller was his name, not Ferris Bueller, but Dr. von Bueller or something. He told me that he had performed that operation on hundreds and hundreds of soccer players in Dusseldorf in Germany. And he said all of the soccer players that he had performed that surgery on were all much, much younger than me, and none of them had recovered anywhere near as quick as I had, or had anywhere near the range of motion that I had. And that was with them having professional physiotherapists, nutritionalists, all sorts of people, you know, ancillary people to assist them. And I said, well, this is not all I can do. I just dropped down on the ground and I did half a dozen push-ups. And he said, no, you can't do that. You can't. I said, yeah, well, I've already been doing it, mate. And like, he was absolutely astounded. And once again, I just put it down to persistence, you know, the will power to want to do something, and mainly to prove to him that he was wrong in his assessment of me before the surgery. So, yeah, all right. I know I'm sounding like I'm, you know, rattling my own cage here, but you know, I think it's good to listen to people that have done things like that, to let others know that it can be done. You know, it's you know, there's not too much that's really impossible unless you're defying the laws of gravity or nature or something like that. But you know, in most instances, Jean, and I think this is pretty sad, I think, you know, the vast percentage of people just, they don't even try. They're defeated before they even start, and they think they can't do something, and they're right, because they don't even try. And I just think that that's really sad. But, you know, I'd like to inspire people to, you know, be able to become greater within themselves. I think all of us, myself included, all of us have got untapped potential, and we just don't know what we can do or how much we can move forward, you know, until we try. And sadly, a lot of people just don't want to try. And I see it time and time and time again on the internet. People just give up. And like I said, I think it's sad. They don't just give up with that. They give up with a lot of things. And a lot of people are quite prepared to, you know, consign themselves to the fact that, you know, what they are now is all they will ever be. And I just think that that is wrong. That's a wrong way to think. And I'm always trying to encourage people to push forward, to, you know, be stronger, be, you know, more powerful than what they are now. Like, tomorrow is another day, and you know, they can do things between now and next week that will make them better in a fortnight, that type of thing. That's just the way I like to think, and that's probably been brought about by a lot of the inspirational authors and books that I've read.
Yeah, well, this is it, because a lot of people's expectations are pretty low, and they're based on the limited beliefs that have been put on them by other people, haven't they? I mean, when you're a child, yeah, you don't have all these limits. You think you can be anything. I mean, when I was a little girl, I thought I was going to be a ballerina. Well, I'm not built like a ballerina at all. I'm more like the little elephant in Fantasia.
Jean, I've seen you, and I can honestly say that you do not look like an elephant.
But I probably dance like one. But the thing is, you, as a child, you don't have these limits, do you? You think you can be anything. Mm-hmm. And it's only as you grow up and other people sort of say, oh, you're too thick to do that, or you're not this, you're not that, you can't do it. That's when
sorry to interrupt there, but somebody gave me a tremendous demonstration of this one day. They had three crabs, and they put them in a bucket, and then they put it on the beach, and they got a stick, and they put a circle around the bucket, and it was like a five-foot radius circle. And this guy says to me, how long do you think it will be before the first crab can crawl out of that bucket and cross the five-meter line and get back down into the water? And, like, there was me and a few other guys there, and I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And he said, well, the answer is never. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, and the reason is because as soon as one enterprising crab gets up on one claw and then puts its other claw over the side of the bucket and tries to drop out and crawl across that line and down into the water, the other two crabs will hang on to him and say, no, you stay here with us. And when you think about it, I don't know if you've ever caught crabs or anything like that, but that's exactly what they do. They all nip onto one another, they hold on to one another. And, you know, quite often it's really difficult if you've been out and you've caught these crabs in the river or wherever, to try and separate them when you put them in a bucket, because they all latch onto one another, and it's so true. And unfortunately, there are many, many people that are prepared to do that with us. You know, they just they want to hold us back. They don't want us to move on or move ahead. You know, I think it's up to each individual to try and break the mold and, and try and become, somebody that they want to be. I mean, you know, deep down, I think everybody has a yearning to want to do something or to be somebody greater than what they are right now. And, I really think that, you know, everybody can do that, but self-limiting thoughts and the the thing they call SNIOPS, which stands for susceptibility to the negative input of other people. Glad I could remember that now. But there are a lot of negative people out there, and really, I don't think we need to share in their negativity, because in my experience, I don't think anybody's ever erected a monument or a plaque or anything like that to a truly great negative thinker. You know, it's always the people that, you know, do things with their life and move ahead, you know, with their chosen vocation or whatever, are the ones that, you know, people admire and people that are remembered through history. So, yeah, it's very easy to be negative and lazy and, not want to aspire to doing things. I mean, and once again, it's a choice. It's just down to choice. Even making no decision is a choice, because you choose to make no decision. Jean, I'm going to have to...
That's fine, Gary. So I really appreciate you giving up your time, and I'd love other people to share in your knowledge. So where can they find more about you?
My blog is the place where I interact with people most. That's motivationselfesteem.com/talk, with all the www stuff in front of it, of course. But that's, I quite regularly put up blog posts, and you've probably noticed that every person that makes a comment on my blog, I try my very hardest to answer them and reply to any comment that they make or concern that they may have. So, yeah, that's the place where people can get me the easiest, I think. I'll just repeat that again. It's motivationselfesteem, that's all one word, .com/talk.
Yes, and I can confirm that Gary has some brilliant articles on there, and also you can get access to all of his ebooks and his newsletter and everything. Thank you again, Gary, and hopefully I'll speak to you again sometime. Take care.
Thanks very much, Jean. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, you take care then. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.